Well, good afternoon, and welcome to another episode of El Paso Primetime. I'm Richard Dayu, President and CEO of the Greater El Paso Chamber of Commerce. And with me today, my great fortune, and yours too as our listening audience, is to have a gentleman named David Jerome with us to talk about a program called TEDx. First of all, David, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much, Richard. Real pleasure to be here.
Thank you. Why don't we begin by you telling us a little bit about David Jerome and your background and experiences?
Absolutely. We came to El Paso. I think I'll start there and maybe work my way backwards a little bit. As you know, my wife runs MCAT, the Museum and Cultural Affairs for the City. And when we decided to move back to the States after almost more than 25 years overseas, we sort of had a little competition among ourselves. So who could find the coolest job in the coolest city first? She did. And we were actually really pleased to come here. I remember, flying in and just looking at the environment and the desert and the mountains and just thinking it was just so thrilling to be outside of London in some place with sun where it wasn't sort of dark and cold and wet largely. So we were really happy at that alone. But I have to say, the more we came, we became acquainted with the city, its proximity to Mexico, the culture, the arts scene and all that, we just fell more and more in love with it. And funny enough, actually, despite all those great things I just mentioned, it's really the people. It's a great town, very, very warmly welcomed, and we find it a real pleasure to be here. But before MCAT and things of that sort, the art world, as it were, I worked for Intercontinental Hotels in London. I did that for 10 years. I was in charge of innovation and corporate responsibility and some elements of the legal practice and a variety of different things in that capacity. It was a great job. I loved it. We put up about a hotel a day, and we had a lot of fun innovating and playing about, what a hotel could look like in the context of the future. So we weren't just looking at how to economize the development of a hotel, but we're also looking at how to make how to sort of future-proof them given all the trends. And we're going to talk a little bit about TEDx, and here's where I can make that connection as a sort of – at least initially – is that actually hotel companies by and large were looking to be more innovative, and we were looking for partners to be more innovative. And as we were thinking about how to design a hotel of the future and what would a hotel be like on the moon or, things of this sort we're sort of playing around with, we were looking for partners and sort of collaboration opportunities with organizations that would stretch us and make us think outside our comfort zone in our box. And one of the organizations that sort of kept rising up and coming up before us was this idea of TED. And TED, as it started, which stands for Technology, Entertainment, and Design, was started in California around Silicon Valley when a lot of the programmers and things were running into similar sort of issues. They sort of lost their creative mojo, so they put together a group where they could reinvigorate themselves and just explore and get inspired on some big issues. And this group was very handy for us in the same sort of phase. They'd started earlier, so we joined and we started working on something called the City 2.0. And this was right around the time when the sort of tipping point hit where all the global populations had shifted from being rural to mostly urban. And so it was a really fun project to work on. It sort of stretched our ideas of how to collaborate and how consumption will look in the future and the role of hotels and how you could work with hospitals to, better understand air conditioning systems. And they could work with us to better understand how to bring patients into the hospital and things. So it was just a terrific opportunity. And TED was something that I felt so strongly about that I thought it would be really fun to bring here to El Paso. And although it's been done here in El Paso, Chris Cummings and Eric and others at the Eric Pearson at the El Paso Community Foundation did a great job. They really did. We thought we could even do more. And I think we're in a great phase now. We've been working with the Chamber, as you know. We've met with you folks on more than one occasion. We have Gary, your former chair, who's part of our steering group.
Gary Borscht.
We've got Jack Chapman, Bill as well.
Oh, Bill Burton.
Yeah. And it's a great steering group working with me, and We've met a lot of folks in town and sort of been asking for their help on TEDx, and it's been terrific.
Well, just those four or five names you mentioned pretty much have the connections to almost everybody in El Paso. So you know, I know it's mostly by happenstance, but nonetheless, divine intervention. I think you've gotten the right guys involved with you to help you make those necessary connections, because I don't know of anyone in our community who's not involved in some direct way with the growth of our community, whether they're civic-oriented, business-oriented, or politicians, that group does not know. So it works well in your favor.
I agree. It was by design, and I all thought they had really great strengths that could help make TEDx grow. And so we can go back to TEDx. I'm happy to do it in just a second. But the rest of my bio before that, we lived and worked in Belgium with my wife and kids. We were in just outside Leuven. I worked for AB InBev, which is a big beer company. You probably heard of things like Stella Artois and other beers. And before that, I spent 10 years with General Motors. We were in Asia Pacific mostly there. I lived in Korea for 5 years, Singapore for 5 years, and I guess went to law school before that, did a little stint in the Marines, and also was subject to the slings and arrows of a Jesuit education. So that gives you probably a pretty full picture of who I am.
It does. But I think actually that's a good stepping off point, if you will, for how important your efforts towards promoting TEDx are in our community, because the one thing I've gotten from TED, I have the app on my phone, and when I have rare moments, but I do have occasional downtime, usually not at the office, too many interruptions, but in the evening, and I'll go on and see what's new on TED. For those who are listening, I'm hoping many of you already have the TED app. If you don't, it's free. Go get it. And you'll find just, I hate to use that term, but it's somewhat overused, a plethora of subject matter that are available for you to learn and expand your mind, expand your horizons. For those of you who came out of the 60s, expanding your mind had a little different understanding. But nonetheless, it does do one thing significantly, which is to enable you to look at things from different perspectives. So having your background, I think, lends itself extremely well to the TEDx environment. So why don't we, without further ado, because I know everyone who's listening to this show right now is sitting on the edge of their seats wanting to know a little bit about TEDx and what you're going to do and when you're going to do it.
Okay, absolutely. Let's talk about it. I think that's great. The event is designed to be very much about the core sort of tagline. As I had mentioned before, TED we were using to sort of expand our thinking on how to innovate and be creative and how we looked at hotels and cities of the future. But it's the tagline for TED and why I think it has such sustained power in terms of the videos and the conferences and the things like that they do is because it's this idea of ideas worth sharing. That is the tagline for TED. And every single one of those words is actually means something. It's all about ideas, but they have to be worth sharing. And so what you do is you spend a fair bit of time trying to make sure that you have a really good day for us in terms of TEDx of speakers and a great audience to listen to them. And so we curate both the speakers list and the attendees to try to make sure that, you know, we have 250 of, let's say, our best and brightest from El Paso sitting in a room listening to some fantastic speakers, the ability to network and to be able to sit down and say, what do we do with what we've heard is really important. And I think that when I say 250 of the best and brightest, I don't mean it in the context of an elitist kind of thing. It's more that you have an idea that you're passionate about something that you want to share. And it's really hopefully a diagonal slice right through the community that we go from the baby boomers. You might be a baby boomer.
I might be.
Yeah. I'm firmly planted
I know,
in the baby
much
boomer.
Younger.
I'm right on the edge of baby boomer. Yeah. But all the way right through a diagonal slice, right through the community to the millennials and everybody. Because if you have something, you know, an idea that you're passionate about or something you want to share, and I think ultimately at the end of the day you're willing to sit down and be in this sort of this collaborative kind of network with people where we leave inspired and have a few really great ideas to go activate around, please get on our website, get on the Facebook, register to attend, consider speaking. And we're always looking for partners, as you can imagine. And when I say partners, we aren't really looking for people just to give us money, because that's nice, but that's not the point. We really like people to be involved. So if you're going to collaborate with us, think of yourself as a partner. And come and attend and have some fun too. The website isn't up just yet. It's just a couple of – maybe a week or two away. But it gives us a great chance to talk again perhaps.
I hope so. I'd love to have you back on the show.
Oh, absolutely.
And for our audience, in case you don't realize it, we are recording. Mm-hmm. And it's actually only April the 5th today. So perhaps by the date it airs, which is April the 23rd, your website will be up.
I think it will be. And the other thing, it will be very shortly up. And, you know, put in your calendars the 10th of September. It's the 10th of September. We're going to be having it at the Art Museum downtown. We think that sort of matches with the brand, you know, being a really nice environment to have, I think, hopefully ideas share that you find inspirational. We will be broadcasting those also for people who can't attend, for those who would like to see them. We'll be broadcasting them as well.
Yeah, let's talk a little bit about that. So mm-hmm. for those who don't realize this, even if you've been to the museum, few people realize there's actually a theater inside the museum that seats about 250 people, somewhere in that range. So that's the limit to our audience. And let's talk a little bit about how you get to become an audience participant. Because it's not like showing up on September the 10th,
no,
is it?
No, it's not that at all, actually. Although we will, I think, have some facilities for people who outside the event that, you know, you can watch and see what's happened. We think it's important that although not everybody can attend, everybody can see. But yes, the venue is only large enough for 250. But I think that's also important because we want the event to be meaningful for both the speakers and the attendees, in terms of the ability to network and share ideas and really, really be able to talk. I mean, you have to remember, it's in the spirit of TED overall. And TED, as an example, this is where Al Gore launched his Inconvenient Truth. You know, this is where, you know, you have the guys from Google talking about how they were inspired to create Google. This is, you know, where Musk talks about why he does Tesla, where Gates comes and says, you know, I'm thinking about maybe working on malaria, and they say, how about you just eradicate it? It's a really interesting environment where you can have a chance to really kick these ideas around and, you know, sort of like kicking the tires on a car and really sort of test things. And it's quite a fun environment because of that. And so we want both the audience and the speakers to be really interested in sharing those ideas we were talking about. And to participate, we have an application process. Again, it'll be online when the website goes up. And it'll ask you a few questions on, you know, why you want to participate and, you know, what you do and what you hope to get out of the conference. And we'll look at those things and try to make sure that we accommodate everybody who wants to come, but also that we make sure that we've got a really great group of folks that can share and work together.
Yeah, so let's talk a little bit about that. Mm-hmm. Because for those of you who have not actually used the app and seen the TED program, this is not a long program individually. Usually they run 8, 9, 10 minutes each presenter, correct? And how do you select those presenters and how do you ensure that that speaker is going to be a dynamic speaker and is going to hold the audience captivated?
Well, usually I think when we talk about speakers, it's not such a function of somebody who speaks well. We can coach that and help, and we do. We have people who – great folks that are volunteers with the team that are very good at coaching people to how to do a good TED Talk. But the essence of a good TED Talk is quite different than like a professor's lecture where you have several different points you're trying to convey and for learning purposes and things of that sort. A TED Talk is that one idea you're dying to share. You know, that one thing that you know, it's for some people and actually for a lot of people, it's the 18 minutes of their life in terms of I had this chance to say the one thing I really wanted to say. And that's why it's so compelling. And it can be anywhere between 8 and 18 minutes for TEDx. But we really are about the idea. And so we focus on the idea and we will help anybody who's interested, who's got a great idea, to do a great TED Talk. So we're really focused first and foremost on something that is a great idea. And as an example, It's also meant to be inspirational and fun. So and help people get out of their day-to-day sort of and get their head above the cubicle and look around a little bit kind of thing. And so if you think about it, we would there's plenty of talks and a lot of discussion about, like, say, life on the border. But we're not looking at one that is about the difficulties or the politics of it or something necessarily. What are the benefits? What's the inspirational takeaways from the benefits of living on the – that's a TED Talk. And pick one thing about it that is terrific and help us understand it in depth and to get inspired to do something to help.
Well, that's interesting you should say that because mm-hmm. we just had the baseball summit on the border, right, last week, which I was – fortunate enough to be a participant with the Borderplex who led that initiative, along with the two teams that are married to one another, our Triple-A Chihuahuas and the San Diego Padres, who, candidly, what a dynamic organization. Their leadership just they're awe-inspiring. But one of the things we talked about during our summit and some of the issues that were raised by the participants was how do we counter the negative perceptions that exist at the national level that seems to be the seed for the vitriolic rhetoric that goes on about the border being a dangerous place when we all know it's completely the opposite. And the message that we're trying to get across, maybe a part of that program for you guys to do for your TEDx, is to demonstrate to America just how much our national economy relies on our partnership with Mexico and the manufacturing that goes on within the United States that transforms into major dollars for those states' economies because they export to Mexico, which people seem to overlook in the conversation because it's not popular.
Well, I how do you account for the current state of political dialogue? The level is depressing, I guess, is the only way to really phrase it. And I hope in many ways TED wasn't created because of the political process, but certainly the dialogue we're looking to undertake, the ideas we're sharing kind of tagline, as it were, is about being inspired and optimistic and trying to figure out what can be done to improve lives and to help us sort of grow as a species almost. And you know, from my perspective also, I think it's a great platform for El Paso to put itself on a map and have a dialogue in the context of I think there's been over 1 billion views of TED videos, for example. You know, just imagine the power of a really great speaker from El Paso getting 9 million views on the TED site. It'd just be terrific, right? And that's a lot, and that's an ambitious target, but what kind of targets do you want other than those? And so I think we've got some great talent here. We have some great – we'll have some other speakers from other parts of the country too. It's not just El Paso. But we will be talking about the border and also just intersections in general. And I was working with Bill Burton just this morning, as a matter of fact, on how to talk and how do we want to theme out this TEDx. And one of the things we're thinking about is the idea of thinking about innovation at the intersection. And I think many cases we think about El Paso in terms of the north-south intersection, which is obvious we should. You know, the influence of Mexico and the culture and the arts and the business and the economics are clear. And we should be talking about those benefits. And I think, you know, you could be asking questions. I think, you know, how can you not see our futures as intertwined on all of those levels we just discussed? It's reckless not to. But I think on the other side of it, we also have an east-west intersection set. You know, there used to be all trends and all thinking, you know, sort of in terms of anything new or different came out of New York or California and sort of met in the middle. That's not true anymore. There's a lot of really important trends and ways of thinking that come out of Texas as well. And you can see it in terms of the fact that you can buy a Texas edition pickup truck in Maine, you know, for example. And you can also see it, I think, in the fact that, you know, there's a lot of political environments, whether it be Ted Cruz, the Bush family, how Texas is viewed internationally, all these trends that come out, the authentic nature of the area. And El Paso sits, I think, it's probably the most authentic city in Texas as a representative of Texas. So we can learn about, the harmony that exists on this border among people, among cultures, among art, and just the economics is just phenomenal. And I think that's a precursor for what the rest of the country should aspire to. So there's some terrific things we can talk about in terms of the idea of innovation at an intersection.
I'm inspired listening to you. I think it's already on my calendar, so I won't pretend to put it on there. It's there already.
Yeah.
That'll be a day I'll be certainly spending my time as the official chamber representative at TEDx as well. And you mentioned earlier when you talked about the website, you also mentioned Facebook.
Yes.
So do you have a Facebook page?
We have a Facebook page now. Please go like it, and it will become much more active shortly. We started early so that we had the ability to plan and hopefully really deliver a world-class event for everybody. I mean, this is about – and it's important to note here, this is a nonprofit. Nobody makes any money. This is purely about trying to do something for the community that we think will be meaningful. And anytime we can get 250 of our best and brightest in a room and sort of think about – what we can do to, for our community and how to get inspired to do some great things out there. Why not? It's just a terrific, I think, opportunity. And I'm just lucky to be here and be working with the fantastic folks like yourself, that steering committee I worked on, standing on the shoulders of Eric and Chris and others that went before. It's terrific. And I think we have you
speaking at our board meeting this month, do we not?
If I can be of service, I will be there. I think I owe you one, Eddie.
I believe we already have you slated to speak to our entire board.
It'll be my pleasure.
This April. So I'm glad to see that. So what is the Facebook page called?
It's TEDx El Paso.
Just TEDx El Paso?
It'll pop right up.
Very simple.
Just do a quick search on
okay. Well, I don't have to explain to anybody who's listening how to use Facebook. That's for sure. But this is one time when I might be a good advocate for using Facebook. I'm on Facebook, but I'm never on Facebook. People tell me things I don't know about myself because they happen to have read it in my wife's Facebook page, but never on mine. So I identify with that. So we have a few minutes left. Let's maybe some closing thoughts that you might want to share with our audience about the program that's upcoming.
Well, I think what we're trying to do, as I said, we're looking at theming it out a bit about intersections and innovation and seeing how that will play. I think that will be quite a fun way to look at it. We have some great things that have been happening in the community that we're looking at in terms of speakers. One of the groups I'm working with now, the MCA, they've been doing this work with NASA on innovations. We're trying to get NASA to come on out and speak to us at this event. So I think, to give you a little bit of a taster from some of the speakers we're thinking about. But you also have some great folks in the community. We were having a chat with the Hunt Institute, which is right here on this campus. We've got some really great thinkers in that organization, and we'll see about getting them involved. And
Patrick heading up that bunch.
You got it.
Pretty bright.
Absolutely. A bright guy. And I was also talking to some other folks. There's been a book that come out of Harvard Kennedy School in the last couple of months on Mexico. And, if we could get one of those professors to come on down, we're exploring that right now. And, they'll give you an idea of who we're thinking about.
I think that's great. You raised a question when you were speaking earlier about the TEDx program. Just so our audience knows, TEDx, it's not like you have a TEDx in every city. There is a process that you have to go through in order for you to be able to even be qualified, mm-hmm. correct?
So, that's right.
And then how many cities do we estimate currently and how many people are qualified to do this?
Well, TED itself as an organization has these conferences that they run, and they have about 1,200 people a year who attend that conference, and that's it. And it's a weekend, and you have about 60 speakers, and you they usually theme it just like we're doing here, and it just depends on the theme. But you will talk about a variety of different things. I mentioned earlier some of the speakers that have been there, and it's certainly top notch in that regard. Definitely challenging your conceptions of, you know, how fast things are happening and all that, because it's a great group. But I think what you do is in the context of here. You have those 2,000 – or I should say 1,200 people that have come out of a TED conference. Those folks are qualified to do a TEDx because they've been to the TED conference itself. It's hosted once a year, and right now it's being hosted in Vancouver every year. And they just had it in February. But that group, when they return to their cities, they can apply for a license from TED, and TED will give it to you to host a TEDx. And that's the process you follow. So it requires a little bit of rigor because they really do drill you on, you know, what are you thinking and where will it be and does it sort of fit the brand, which is good though because it assures the quality of the TEDx events is to the TED quality. And so I was quite happy to go through the process, and we did it a little bit early, and I think that puts us in good stead to deliver well here.
Well, David, I want to thank you. I see we're pretty much running out of time, but I want to thank you again for taking the time to be on the show with us. I want to make this statement while we're on the air that I want to have you come back as we get closer to the event so we can keep our audience informed of the progress. By then we'll have, I imagine, the complete theme worked out and a pretty good list of who our speakers will be. I will tell you honestly, having you and your wife Tracy in El Paso is a blessing for El Paso as well, and we're just thrilled to have you. So in closing, I want to thank our listening audience again for participating with us on this April 23rd. We wish you a great, bright Saturday afternoon. Have a wonderful day, and thank you for tuning in.